The messages that are in these old hymns are so touching the heart, like nothing. And I really appreciate it. Thank you, Michelle. It's one of my favorite songs, hymns. Before we start this morning, I would like to bring a few things to your attention. First, we just came back from camp meeting. Last week we went in North Carolina, in Lake June, Alaska. And I do plan someday to show you some pictures and share some of the blessings we received there. It was a perfect time. And one of the speakers that came to this camp meeting is Robert Falkenberg. I don't know if any of you know who Robert Falkenberg is. And I know he was one of the presidents of the General Conference, but his son, he is a president of China, the Seventh-day Adventist China Union. So he was present there. His messages were so powerful, so strong. And he shared some of the things, the challenges the China Union goes through, and also about the needs. And he gave us this card. Okay, I have one that is on a backboard, and he was asking each person there that was present at the camp meeting to pray for people in China. It's one of the most populated and rich territory in the world. It's the largest atheist country in the world. And over 70% of the population will live in the cities by 2025. He wants us to pray for unentered cities. And they said in China there are about 60 cities that have 1+ million people living in the city. And they don't have a church there. So there is a great need for God's word, God's message to reach those people. That's why we do need to keep in prayer God's work everywhere. In this area, in the town next door, but also in so far rich areas like China. And the things are changing. You know, he was sharing some of the information with us. The things are changing, not in a good way, but people are not discouraged. People are trying to continue to work for the Lord wherever they are. he was sharing about, you know, with the new changes from the state legislator about how to run the church business and everything. The pastor, you know, he was concerned, and the pastors from China, you know, said, no, we can do this. You know, we can meet in a house. You know, you don't need to go in a big church to worship. We can go anywhere. They were not discouraged. They will try to reach. So their faith is strong, but we do need to ask for God to bring workers in his field. And talking about workers in his field, we also can do some work here. I don't know if you're aware, but we have some glow trucks. I don't know if you see this. There is a stand there. The glow trucks have different messages on them. It's a little condensed little note, and it uses Bible text. And it's presented in a nutshell what we believe on this subject. So these are very small. You can put it in your pocket, book, or in your wallet. Whenever you go and buy something, you can leave it with your bill. Or if you go in another restaurant, you can leave it and share it. That's a way to share God's message with everyone that you come in contact. So they are, and we have a stand. They have different teams. We got some more this time when we went to the camp meeting. So please take some with you. Read them and share them. Another thing that we have for sharing is Signs of the Times. This is a little booklet, a little magazine. They do have important information. You can take it for you to read it. And if you don't read it, please take it and share it with people who are around. Steps to Christ, and also there are some books. So please feel free to do the work you can do wherever you are. Not to mention that we have a bookmark ministry. So we have a little bookmarks that we make. They are made right here in our members of our congregation. And they have a nice picture, a Bible text, something to lift people's spirit wherever you go around.
Before my sister passed, she and some women that are still in here did that with the things, and she went to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I was there a year or two after. It was a long time after she died. And I, somebody said, here, read this. And I'm like, my sister is one of those that made this.
Amen. That's true. See, there is, you know, the written words can reach places where we cannot reach. So that's why God gives us these little things, you know, they are not, you know, how big is this? You know, it can go in a wallet if you, you know, it's a little bigger than a credit card. But we can share it, we can put it. You can put it on your bill. When you pay your bills, you put it in an envelope, send it with your bill. You know, wherever you want to do. Go in a restaurant, pay the things, leave one there. Go to the doctor's office, leave it there. You know, wherever you can go, you can spread the seeds. These are seeds, okay? It's not that we can do, but God can use these seeds to reach so many people. Another thing I wanted to bring to this discussion just for a short time is the fact that I believe that we are a great church. Here in Aiken, we are a great church. And many people may not agree with me. You know, they can debate, you know, that we are not good and we don't do this. We are a good church in a way that we always raise up to the occasion. If there is something going on, we always gather together. We always support each other. And I do appreciate this about our church. At the same time, I feel that we are sheltered in many ways. There are many things that's happening in the world, in our community, even in our worldwide church that we are not aware. We don't know that's happening. Sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's not such a good thing, you know, because things can come and we are not aware of bad things coming or something that's happening. However, we should use this to our advantage, that if we are protected from the evil that is outside, that's good. But when we are just stuck together and we don't try to reach to people who are outside, we are in a bad place. Because God is calling us not to just stuck together, but just to spread the gospel, to try to reach some other people. And we do have a ministry here it's in a bulletin every week, and I'm talking about the food bank. It's a ministry that is growing. And I think that Pastor Ben did a great job. He was instrumental in starting this ministry and trying to feed the people. And I think it's God's hand in leading the way that things have been done, because we have a place. We have the food that is coming at a very reasonable place price, and we have plenty of food. We have plenty of food. But at the same time, we have a challenge, because we have a lot of people coming to get the food we have. The only problem is we don't have enough people to deal with this amount of people that are coming. For example, last Wednesday, there are about 45 families, 45 people who walk in these doors to get a box of food. And we provided food for these people. But how many people do you think can serve so many people in 1 hour and a half? How many people do you think should take to help serve that many people? Okay, we are only three people here dealing with this amount of people. So there is a lot of work. I'm grateful for Pastor Ben who started this on. I'm grateful for Connie who is faithfully coming. I don't know what we would do if she wouldn't be here to register the people, making sure that, you know, they have all the informations in and, you know, give them the right directions. But we do need people to help us put things together and just provide it to the people in the right timing. We do need help, and you know, I told you, I have never been disappointed by my church here in Aiken because we always rise to the occasion. There is the opportunity for the people in the church to come and serve, because if we're going to continue to do this service with three people, I don't know how long we're going to do it. And it will be a great disservice to the cause of God that he brought so many things. You have food, okay? It's not that we don't have food. We have food, we have people. The only thing is people from the church to come and help serve and reach the others. If we can talk about this, if you have any questions, if you would like to help, if you are available to help us, we can talk about this, and we can make a list. You don't have everybody to come. We have it only twice a month. It's on the first Wednesday and third Wednesday of the month. And if you have any questions, please feel free to reach and talk with me about this. And we can make it work, I promise you. I want to mention some other people that help. Connie, it's one of the greatest helper you can ever ask, you know, but, you know, we had Becky, Miss Claudette coming, Robert was here, Joe and Gary also came to help us, but we do need to know what we can count on. We don't want to delay people from serving them, you know, we want to move fast, so please think about it. Pray about it, and just make a decision. This was kind of a long introduction to the message for this morning. I think I wanted to take this time to talk about the needs of our church. We are a church that we do need to grow. We do need to reach other people, and we need to take care of God's business in this way. But I would like, before I start the message this morning, I would like to take a minute to make our professions, and I just want to have your Bible ready. And I would like to ask you and invite you to repeat together. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. And I covenant with him that I will study every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again we come before your throne of grace, Lord, to ask for your grace and mercy upon the message that is going to be presented in this Sabbath morning, Lord. We want to bring you honor and glory in everything we say and do. And the message we have prepared for this morning, we really want you to bless it in a special way. And I want to use me as your messenger, Lord, to present the teaching in such a way that will reach people's heart and will bring them closer to you. Lord, we need you more than any moment in our lives. We need you now, and may your Holy Spirit continue to guide us and help us in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We are living in an ever-changing world. Change is the word of the day. We see change happening everywhere. And many times the change can be good. Many times the change can be bad. And the way we can know the difference between good change and bad change is to know where to go for resources, where we can find the guidance for what we know it's a good change or not. And usually when we comes with a change in our lives, the change that's happening in the church, we should always go to the Bible and see, is that what God wants us to do or it doesn't? We should not make the change because for the sake of change, or should make the change because it feels good to us. But we should make the changes that will bring us closer to God. And probably you have noticed we as a church, we are in a period of change. There are some people that are coming, some people are not coming. There are things that kind of change, and the way we react to change is going to help us build this church or not. That's why we do want to ask you to be part of a change. And the change can start with each one of us. Brother Marvin this morning, he was presenting the story of Achan that, by his choices, he brought change upon the whole people of Israel. In the same way, the choice, one person's choice in this church or in the family or wherever we are can break us or can make us. It was a very interesting lesson this morning. And, we are talking about the influence of one person. And we are talking about that Satan can take one person and can use it and to destroy and to break a family or to break a people. But at the same time, God can use one person to make a good change. And Robert doesn't talk too much about this, but I get inspiration from his family because his mother was the one who chose to follow God. She was the person that decided in the family to choose God. That it was not taken easy by her husband or by the immediate family, and it created a lot of troubles. You're talking about Satan entering in one person and destroying the family. That was, but that didn't stop her from being a faithful follower. And when we start dating with Robert, he says, my mother's fate make us to be, he has 10 brothers. They are like 9 brothers and 2 sisters, We all knew what the truth is by the influence of one person. And, you cannot change this. Satan, yes, Satan can push, can force, can use every other thing that is at his disposal to kind of try to make us the wrong decision. God does not push us. He is winning us over by his love. He is changing us, giving us the options to choose if we want to serve him or not. But the powerful testimony of the person that chooses to follow Christ and do what is right, it's so powerful that it can change so many bad things Satan can do in this world. There is influence to God, to good. And that's what I would like to challenge each one of you. I would like to challenge you to be the change you want to see in this church. If you want to see a friendly church, be friendly. If you want to see a kind church, be kind. If you want to see a loving church, be loving. I cannot make you model the change you want to see in this church. And that's my challenge to you. We cannot make anybody else to do whatever we think is right. But we can choose to make and do what is right. No long ago, Saeed spoke to us about disappointment. That was about three Sabbaths ago, two or three Sabbaths ago. He talked about the disappointments that that God's church faced. And he was especially talking about the disappointment the disciples felt when Jesus came and lived a life in this world. And when he died, everybody was disappointed. You know, on the road to Emmaus, the disciples says, "We thought that he's going to be the one." You know, their expectation was that he's going to be the one. And they were all disappointed when he died on a Calvary. At the same time, Said was talking about the great disappointment in 1844 when all the church were gathering together, getting ready to meet the Lord coming from the clouds of the sky. And 1844, October 22nd, 1844 passed, came and passed, and nothing happened. And that was a great disappointment for the people who were expecting to see Jesus in that time. And I cannot wonder but think that God is using disappointment in our lives to teach us some lessons. Looking back in a world history, in a church history, we can see that the disappointments led to great revivals, led to changes to take place in the church. Do you think that now, when we live at the end of this time history, are we ready to face another disappointment? Do you think we can face another disappointment? I would like to suggest to you that we, as a society, as a Christian church, and even as a Seventh-day Adventist, may have a misguided take on God and what he is, and where the way we see him. There was a preacher whatever he said, it stuck to me. And he was comparing the disciples in Jesus' time with the disciples that are living now before the world history. And the common theme was that we are all subject to a common thread. We have the wrong expectation. The disciple in Jesus' time, everybody was expecting Jesus to come as a king, to take over the Roman legions and destroy and make the Jewish nation one of the most prosperous, one of the leaders in that time. But when Jesus came, he came as a savior. He didn't come as a king. There may be the possibility that today we, when we are looking at the Christian faith and Christian church, everybody is looking for a savior. Jesus is loving us. He's going to come and save us. But today he's going to come as a king this time. His first coming, he came as a savior. But the second time, he's going to come as a king. I don't want us to be on a group that will be disappointed, expecting to get a savior, but we're going to get a king. We are easy to be deceived because of the sin that is in this world. And many times when we deal with the problems in the world, we tend to see the things from our own perspective. We have like a subjective view in the things, my feelings, the way I see the things, that kind of decides how the things are going, But we have an objective view of the things. You can look at the things from outside perspective, not from my perspective. My perspective as a human is not perfect. Because I'm not perfect. God is the only one that it's perfect. In Jeremiah 17:9, the message that God gave to Jeremiah 17:9, the message that God gave to Jeremiah, it's not very encouraging. Because he says, The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The only answer to this question, who can know it, is only God, because He only knows our heart, and He knows us better than we know ourselves. And because He knows us, He is making us the best offer we ever can get. And His offer is found in Ezekiel 36:26. So our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Let's see what God is offering us instead. Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. What better offer can we get for what we have? There is nothing. God is the only one can change and make the change in our heart. This morning reading scripture, it comes from a well-known, well-loved Bible text. For John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This text in itself contained a nutshell of the gospel. You know, it's everything is condensed in one Bible text. We see right here God, His love, His gift for us, our pitiful human sinful condition, and the covenant. Everything is in this text. And if we are to take each word from this text, we can find so much in this text. But this morning, I only want to focus on the first four words of this text. For God so loved. For God so loved. Willingly or unwillingly, willingly, knowing or in ignorance, each human being has their opinion about God. We love Him. Some people love Him. Some people hate Him. Some people follow Him. Some people refuse to follow Him. Some people rebel against Him. But we all have an opinion. We have an opinion to God. We are not indifferent to Him. We cannot stay on the side. It's a love Him or hate Him. And this opinion of God, it's usually it comes in different ways. The way we are raised, our family, the values our family promotes, the church, the school, the society, the friends, personal experiences, famous persons, the Bible, the nature, everything it's telling us something about God. What we hear, it's up to us to understand it. It's very important for us to have the understanding, to know God the way He is presented in the Bible. Because many times we can put our spin on the way we know God, you know, and that can lead us to not love Him or not to respond to His love or to ignore Him. And that's, we do this at our own peril. God is asking us, He's looking for us to have a close relationship with Him. But we cannot trust in our own heart because, you know, the Bible we read before, it says the heart is deceitful above all things. So we should not trust our own understanding or our own take on what we know about God, but rather go to the Bible. I would like to challenge you again to find the God of the Bible, to fall in love with Him, and try to open the Bible each day and look and see what each text is telling you about God. How do you see God in there? Do not put your trust in what you feel or what other people say about, even famous people. Don't trust what other people say. Test it for yourself. Look and find out for yourself what is God and how do you know God? We do have, even in the best instances, we do have a limited knowledge of God. And many, to add insult to injury, many times we ignore the things we know about God because they don't agree with what we believe, you know. For example, taking the Jewish people, for example, you know, when Jesus came on this earth, when he lived he came and lived for the first time, the Jewish nation and the disciples, they were expecting him to be a king, a leader, to lead the church. They did even cross their minds that he's going to come and live the way he lived, to reach so many people, to speak with people who were not very good people, with the people who were on a lower part of the society, and or to come and die. That's what was inconceivable to them, that he, God, will come and die. That never crossed their minds. And we may come on the same level when we think, living in today's society where it's all about human rights. It may be women rights, LGBT rights, white and black rights, whatever rights we are, or where equality, social justice, are prompted as gospel. It's almost inconceivable for us to know and accept that God will come again and he will destroy sin. Whatever we see here is going to be destroyed. He will destroy sin. He will destroy everything that is attached to sin. It may be people, it may be angels, everything that is tainted by the sin will be destroyed when he's going to come. And we may not understand that. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but it may happen. Sometimes, and I came across many people who were saying, you know, looking at God in the Bible, says, you know, I like the God that is in the New Testament, but the Old Testament God, it's not, I don't really care for it. Or there are some, I even heard a preacher, you know, I listening to BBN radio, and one of the preachers says, you know, I really don't understand, don't care for the God of the Old Testament, because it's not the God I know. But I like to venture to say that we do have an issue with the God we do not understand. And the one with the God that doesn't measure to our expectation. And again, we measure God by our own, you know, we see the way we see things by our experiences, but we need to see God the way it's in a scripture. Jesus is very clear when he says, in any subject of salvation, he says, you err because do not know the scripture and you don't know the power of God. And that's what we need to know. We need to know the power of God. We need to know the scripture. My Bible tells me in this morning text that God so loved the world. And in John 1:4-16, the scripture clearly says that God is love. It says God equals love. At the same time, the Bible tells me that God is the same yesterday and forever. In James 1:17, he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, and in whom it's not variableness, neither shadow of turning. So God is not changing. The God of the Old Testament, it's the same God as the New Testament. There is no difference between those gods. The only thing is the way we see our perspective, the way we have our take in what God is. if would not have been for the Old Testament, truly I cannot come to know the deep depth of God's love for us. Take, for example, Isaiah 5, 1 to 5. Here it's where God is telling the story, talking about how he is related to Israel. You know, he compared the Israel as a vineyard. You know, I have done to my vineyard everything I was able, conceivable to do. I try to do everything. I build them, I water them, everything that I could do. And we can see that God's love is there. You know, he did everything for the Jews. And what was the result? They brought forth sour grapes. You know, God is asking us, come and judge between me and my vineyard. What kind of love is described here? It's just wonderful the way I see it. Take, for example, Ezekiel 16, where it goes in more details about how God took and compared the Israel with a young lady who was born. From the time the Israel was born, from the time we were born until was growing, on each stage, each step, God is showing us his desire to be in a relationship with Israel, with his people. And I could not have known about God's love if it would not be in the passages that I, you know, in Isaiah or in Ezekiel. Or take the book of Hosea, you know, where is the story of this prophet is the story of God trying to pursue, trying to kind of try to reach the people of Israel. And trying to reach us, you know, by extension, because we are God's people. He is always trying to reach us, trying to help us. Or Songs of Solomon that describes the tender love of God that is between God and his people. If it would not be for the God of the Old Testament, I would not have a complete picture of who God is or what God is. There are some attributes of God, you know, and when we're talking about God, many times our understanding is very limited. There are some attributes we cannot understand. Like, for example, God has life in itself. How this can be, nobody can explain it. Nobody can explain, and I cannot understand it. Also, God is omniscient, which means that he knows everything. How does it do it? I don't know. We cannot explain this. Also, he is omnipresent, which means that he is present everywhere at the same time. How does it, we cannot, you know, there are attributes about God we don't understand. He's omnipotent, you know, that means he's all-powerful. Nothing can stop him. And also, he is immutable and unchangeable. These are some attributes of God that we are not able to comprehend. We are not able to understand. I love the text in Malachi 3:6. It's a beautiful text. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. And it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." And the best part is coming. "Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Because God is who he is, that's why we are not destroyed. We are not wiped out from this existence. Because God is who he is. Looking over all these qualities, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, self-existent, and immutable, we as humans that are limited by time, we live that such a small time in space, and we can do that much. And not to mention that we are not very stable when it comes to our relationship with God. It's very hard for us to really understand God. But God is not calling us to understand on this. We should take these attributes of Him, we should take them at their face value and trust Him. But God has certain attributes He chooses to share with us, such as love, grace, mercy, patience, holiness, righteousness, justice, truth. These attributes he graciously shares with us. The God I serve, it's a God of love, but at the same time, it's a God of justice. He is a God of grace, but at the same time, it's a God of holiness. He is a God of mercy, but at the same time, He's a God of truth. We cannot pick and choose to focus on a certain attribute of His character, such as grace, love, mercy, patience, and forget and ignore the rest. We need to take God as a whole. You know, He is loving and just at the same time. He is merciful and holy at the same time. These last qualities, love, mercy, grace, patience, holiness, righteousness, justice, and truth, He make them available to us. When God created the first human being in Genesis 1:26, He said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness." In a sense, this is the likeness with God that we need to show. When we show these attributes, love, mercy, grace, justice, holiness, we reflect God. We show God to others. And we need to be very careful again on these areas, because many times we can put a spin on you know, how love is to be, or how mercy is to be, or how justice needs to be done. We can put our own spin, and we need to be very careful about that, because God has a perfect example of how we need to show these attributes. And that was in the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible text for today, what He says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Jesus Christ came to show us how we need to live, how we need to display these attributes. It may not be the only reason He came, because He came to give up His life for our salvation. But in doing so, He demonstrated in a practical way how we as children of God should live. We should not be deceiving ourselves that, you know, I can live the way I want to live and be safe, be okay. God is okay with this. God is calling us to a high standard. We cannot do half measures. You know, I can do this a little bit and this a little bit. No. It's God is calling us and is showing us where we need to be. I would like to leave you with this thought. I don't know how many here are familiar with Ty Gibson. Ty Gibson, maybe some things you agree, some don't agree. Anyway, he was presenting an aspect of God's love that many times we choose to set it aside, to ignore. And that is that God is so in love with us that He is pursuing us. He is coming after us, trying to save us. When you're looking at the whole story of redemption, the humans sinned. They departed. They separated from God. But God came, and He is looking for Adam in the Garden of Eden. He is looking for us, trying to reach us, trying to show us how much He loved us. In Zephaniah, that's a very small book in the Old Testament. Zephaniah 3:17. It's a very interesting text. Zephaniah 3:17. and talks about God in these terms: "The Lord thy God, in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, and he will joy over thee with singing." This is the only text in the Bible I know that it's telling us that God is singing over us. He is rejoicing over us. And the only condition, there is a condition in this text: the Lord thy God in thy midst. When he is in our heart, when he is in our lives, that will bring joy to God's heart. And he will burst out in singing. The last challenge I have for you today is to call God the greatest joy ever, to cause him to burst out in singing. Amen.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are coming again before your throne of grace, Lord, to thank you. We want to thank you for the great God you are. We want to thank you for your love and care, and for the fact that you love us, despite of our sin, the sin in our lives, despite of where we are in our Christian walk. You love us just the way we are, but you don't want us to stay the way we are. You want us to become more like you, to share those qualities that you have, the love, the mercy, and the grace, in righteousness and holiness. Lord, help us to be willing and also to be able, by your grace, to show these qualities in our lives. Help us to become more like you. Help us to prepare our hearts and to be ready to come when you're going to come to take us home in heaven. And Lord, continue to guide us and be with us until the time comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.